Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
It's time now for Green Thumbs in Canterbury, out and about with the Canterbury Horticultural Society.
Good morning, Amen. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Ray?
I'm fine, thank you. You know, this weather is sort of, you can't complain it's warm, but boy, the garden's watering in June.
I know. I can complain, Ray, and I'm going to. It's not wet enough.
I know. The rain makes all the difference, isn't it? You can water all you like, but it's not as good as good, healthy rain.
No. And I've just put that French drain down the side of the house, and now I've not had rain to test it.
Is that just typical?
Very dissatisfying.
Absolutely. Well, I'm actually getting quite concerned.
Yeah.
Because my daffodils, not my daffodils, my dahlias are coming up.
The plants are very confused.
They're very, very confused. I mean, we're all confused, but the poor plants are completely confused.
Yeah, And leaves were hanging on to some of my trees a lot longer than they usually do.
But they've got, the blossoms are coming out.
Along, I know.
Up in Rickon and House, they've got blossom trees in flower with their autumn leaves hanging on. It's just so weird.
That does not bode well for later in the season.
Well, we're either going to have a massive frost to get going, or else we're just going to cruise along like this and we'll be very confused.
Yeah, and I don't know that some of our spring bulbs, for instance, will be particularly happy about it.
No, because they need a bit of scarification in the cold, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And my hollyhocks need that as well. Oh, well, look, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to learn to cope with it. But I've covered up all my dahlias and peonies with pea straw to try and say, stay down.
it's not time.
It's going to be a frost soon, my darlings, and you're going to get hurt.
Yep, stay asleep. Good day to sleep.
Anyway, what else is happening?
This month our guest we've been a visited, so I can't say it was guest so much as our speaker was Laura Davidson from Trees for Canterbury. We went out to the nursery and had a look around.
Oh, I'm going to buy some of her jasmine that she's got out there.
The New Zealand
the native one. Yes.
And we were very well behaved. We resisted temptation. We did not come away with any plants. I do have a wish list now, however.
Absolutely.
But we had a really good chat with Laura, and it was really lovely to see what they're all about and to chat to Laura, especially with the sort of new chapter in the Trees for Canterbury.
Absolutely, because Steve Bush, after 34 years retiring, he was such a monumental person.
He was.
So it's lovely to have a young, fresh face there now.
Yes, so please enjoy.
Kia ora koutou. We're here today with Laura Davidson from Trees for Canterbury. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
Laura, Trees for Canterbury, how long have you worked here?
I've worked here just on 3.5 years. So I've just recently become the nursery manager. I was employed as the nursery coordinator.
Fantastic. Yeah. So you joined, post-COVID, during COVID?
It was post-COVID, and I joined at a really awesome time of the organisation. We were just absolutely flying. There was lots of jobs for nature, stuff going on, and I've just learnt so much working here. So I came from a kind of horticultural background, but never in native plant nurseries. And so, yeah, I've learnt a lot of what I know by being on the job.
Yeah, and a huge part of horticulture is basically working, like learning on the job. There's only so much you can do via book learning.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So Trees for Canterbury, what is it for those who don't know?
Trees for Canterbury is, it's so many things. It wears a lot of faces, but it's first and foremost a native tree nursery. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people know us for our native plants, but we're actually also a community organisation. So we are a community space for employment for people with disabilities. So we live largely involved with volunteership, and a huge amount of what we do is regeneration and employment for those that are vulnerable in our community. Yeah,
because I had a look through like your website contents, and you've got a very strong mission to support those in the community who perhaps wouldn't necessarily have opportunities otherwise.
Yes, 100%. So we kind of rely on our workforce, and that is mostly volunteership. So mm-hmm. we have 10 paid staff here, and we have over 80 clients that we employ each year, and they come to us from various different parts of the community. So mm-hmm. some come for community works, and we also work with YCD. We have schools, other education programs and initiatives. But, yeah, it is a lot about making a workspace for those that wouldn't otherwise have somewhere to go.
Yes, and it works really well, doesn't it?
They really rule the roost. Like, our volunteers make the culture. Yep. They run the show. Yeah. A lot of them have been here going on 15, 20 years. I think some of our oldest volunteers are still being here 29 years. You know, they've been here since day one with Steve, who has just stood down as the manager. And, without them, we just wouldn't exist.
Yes. And it gives you consistency, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they've been constantly coming for 29 years.
Yes.
They've learnt a lot. And, probably can teach you a thing or two, I guess.
Absolutely. If I don't know where something is or how to do something, it's actually one of the volunteers has done it before, they do know. They really step in when we have new people come along schools. They love to show people what they do and how to do stuff. They really are just wonderful people. Yeah, I rely on the volunteers a lot in my role, not just the staff to get things done, but our team of volunteers. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, you're not only doing that, which is the most fantastic work you probably can do, you do a lot of environmental work too, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. So a huge part of our mission is just regeneration. So that is, I think, in the original days of Trees for Canterbury, it was founded by Tim Jenkins back in 1990, and he just wanted to see more plants into Canterbury. And so a lot of our plant donations are going out into parks and reserves around Canterbury, mostly within Christchurch. Mm-hmm. And we've been involved in a lot of these areas for, over 15 years. Some of the most notable is like Travis Wetlands.
Yes,
Even here at Charlesworth Reserve.
Yeah, like the community planting days, for instance.
Yes, yeah, those. We also do community giveaway program initiative where we give away plants to schools and other community organizations like churches and public facing places so that they, if they can't afford plants, they're able to still beautify their spaces.
And not just beautify, but beautify with trees that are right for the region, the area that they're in, that we know are proven and hardy, all those things. It's all well and good buying something pretty but from the garden store, but then spend money on something that passes away. It's better to right plant, right place.
Right plant, right place, and biodiversity is a huge part of that. So we eco-source, and so a lot of the plants that are going back into certain areas are made for those areas. So they've been seeds being collected or materials being taken from particular plant stocks, remnant forests mostly, and then that's all put back in. So it's the regeneration model. Yeah.
Oh, I love that, The eco-sourcing as well, you've got to be particular about where you pick it from. It can't just be, oh, there's some codified trees, codified seedlings under this tree over here.
Yeah, no, yeah, it is a picky thing. It's very time consuming.
Yes,
it takes a lot of work, and we pride ourselves in getting it right and doing it properly. It's it's really important to a lot of our customers actually as well that they're purchasing eco-source plants. Mm-hmm. A qualified tree in one spot might be from, Chatham Islands or the North Island.
Yeah.
It might not be a South Island endemic. Yes,
and there's variations. Yeah. Well, that's such a good thing for people to know if they come here. If they want to have a particular native tree, they know that you're going to give them one that's bomb-proof.
Yes.
It's going to grow in Christchurch.
It's made for it. Yeah, genetically it is made for particular soil types and locations. Yeah.
So what kind of volume of seedlings would you go through in a year? I imagine that's tens of thousands,
a couple of hundred thousand.
Wow.
I think we're managing to produce, and this is all by hand. We don't have any machines here.
Wow.
We go out, we collect everything by hand, we process it, we do all the cuttings all by hand by staff and volunteers, then we pot them into various grades. 200,000 and plus, we're trying to increase our output, but there is a benchmark which you can't go past.
And where do you store them? All here?
All here, yep. They're stored all here. I don't know how big our site is. I think it's like maybe a hectare and a half. I don't know.
I mean, the seedling's already small. You splice them in.
Yes, and you used to always use the Tetra Paks.
Oh, yeah.
And years ago. Do you still use all those sort of things now for you have proper pots now?
Yeah, we've moved away from the Tetra Pak, unfortunately. I think that stopped just as I came on board. So 3.5 years ago, I think I saw the last Tetra Paks in crates, and they were some Taifa Raupo, which is a really beautiful reed that grows prolifically. And they were the last Tetra Pak, so we moved away from that into plastic pots. It was part of our commercial needs, I suppose, and also it was a bit of a health and safety issue at the end of the day. Not always did they come in clean. Yes. I heard, I wasn't here for that, but yeah.
Yes, I can already imagine, you know, the old custard Tetra Paks. And
Well, because people would think, oh, you're just going to put dirt in there. It doesn't really matter. They're not super clean, but they would stink very quickly, wouldn't they?
Yes, yeah, yeah. I think you have milk sitting around. Yeah, it does happen. But we're still using milk crates. So we've moved away from Tetra Pak, but we use milk crates to hold all of our plant stocks. So I don't know how many milk crates got asked this the other day from a group that was touring the site. And I couldn't think we've got to have more than 10,000 milk crates here on site that we recycle. And so not all of them are here at one time, thank goodness for that, because there's
just have room.
Mountain. But perfect plant holding.
Yeah, the right size.
And then right size, right weight.
Yes, so they've got handles, they're off the ground. They, I think it's air pruning, basically, so the roots are always contained in the bag with the air.
Nice.
Yeah.
And folks can also just come and buy retail as well, can't they?
Yeah. We are open 7 days a week. So on the weekdays, we're open from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. And that's when our volunteers are here. They usually finish around 3. And then we're open both weekend days as well. So we rely on our retail shop to keep us going.
Just every little bit counts, actually. So, yeah, for those who listen, there's a lot of different ways to get involved with Trees for Canterbury. Obviously, you can wander online and check out the actual plants themselves and purchase, you know, as a general customer, but you can be involved with community planting days. You can volunteer your time or your money or resources. Yeah, there's lots of different ways to get involved.
Yes, yeah, that's right. We always take on volunteers, anyone, anybody, any background. Are all welcome here. And we have our planting days, which are open to the public, so you can just show up on the day and get involved that way. Or you can support us by coming in and purchasing plants or telling your friends to come buy plants from us.
Yeah, so where are you planting at the moment for your planting days?
So our next planting coming up is at Barnett Park. That's in Redcliffs, and we do up to 10 plantings this year. We've got a smaller amount of plantings than usual, but they're all scattered around the city. So this season we've got another 8. We had our first one just here in Charlesworth, so yeah.
So, personal question.
Yes.
What's your own home garden like?
My own home garden? Well, I bought my house just on a year ago, and I know that because I had to redo my interest rates. Home garden's looking good. My partner has told me I'm not allowed to bring any more plants home. Because
that's rude.
Yeah.
As it happens, it doesn't matter how long you've had the same partner.
Yeah, no more.
Yeah, mine might have vetoed houseplants for a while.
Yeah, true. I have an alpine garden that I've been nurturing, so I'm really into that.
Oh, how beautiful.
And I've tried to kind of make low maintenance style plants for the rest of my garden. It's a big garden. I live on a sand dune, and had to really work in with my soil environment. But luckily, you know, a lot of
you've got access to the right material, haven't you?
Yes.
So, have you got some favorite plants, trees, shrubs you love to use to work with?
Yep. I'm really into pink blushed leaf. So there's quite a lot of plants. And it's funny, I never really had an appreciation for variegated leaf types, all of those sorts of things. And now I just can't get enough of them. I just think they look so good against green. I have black fences that look so good with black. They're really contrasting. So my favourite kinds of plants, which I historically thought of like the rose, why would people want them, is a Hebe. I really love Hebes. Yeah. Yes. They can, yeah, so beautiful and so varied.
They come in such a huge variety, not just of colours of the flowers, but the leaves themselves and the shape of the leaves and the things.
Yeah.
There's such variety in them.
And bees love them.
Absolutely love them. Yeah. They're super versatile. It's so funny. People often think like native plants, they don't really flower or they're not that interesting. Oh my gosh, there's never been more interesting section of plants to me. I wouldn't want to live anywhere in the world because I would miss.
Yeah, what's unique? What's unique to New Zealand? Yeah,
it is. And we sort of said there's no big fleshy plants in New Zealand. Well, I think a Hutakama tree in full flower or a rata tree.
Oh.
Absolutely spectacular and as spectacular as anything.
Showstoppers.
Is insane with kakabeks and things like that. But then I love, you and I love the little miniature fuchsias.
Oh, the fuchsia procumbens.
Yes.
Yeah, the flowers on them. They're just stunning, aren't they?
They are, Little trumpet, orange, kind of.
I wish pink, just dry purple.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the bright little berry that comes afterwards.
That's right, yeah.
Blowing up on a poster, they look spectacular, but I don't know where to look.
Yeah, when you find one, tell me.
Yes. So
what are the sort of future plans for Trees for Canterbury?
Future plans for Trees for Canterbury. Well, business as usual.
Yeah.
You know, as a community organisation, we're always looking at new ways that we can further our interests in supporting the wider community. Our mission remains the same, which is to employ, educate and regenerate.
Yep.
So we'll just continue in that way. Recently we've had a big leadership changeover. So Steve Bush, who had managed the organisation and led it through the last 35 years, stood down. So now we're in a new era. We're really excited and he's sticking around, so keep going for that. But just in a lesser, more kind of semi-retirement space.
Yes, and you don't want to lose all that institutional knowledge, do you? Not instantly anyway.
Definitely not. No, it would be a huge loss and, you know, he's an important part of our wee community here. So, I think that we are committed to still doing all of our plantings and donations, but we're also looking at new ways that we can sort of fund ourselves. You know, we want to look at how we can maybe we've got a new expansion and how we can use that to grow plants to just create a more sustainable financial
model. It's like because you can't live on volunteers and donations forever.
No, we've largely been self-funded for a long time now. We have really supported ourselves over the last 10 to 15 years. But, you know, the economy, it's hard times out there in conservation particularly. A lot of our community partners, so other community organisations, have seen a loss of funding in the 18s, led to a loss of, sales on our end.
Yeah.
So, our moves are going to be subtle. We'll still be here. I think we want to sort of get more into our education game, see how we can develop that. But, the strategy is just keep the boat afloat.
There's nothing wrong with that as a strategy.
No.
Nothing wrong with that.
I think that's the ultimate aim, isn't it? Anything, we want to be head above water if we can.
Yes.
Now, you do quite a lot of planting up on the hills too, don't you? Up on the hills and all.
Yes. We do. Well, do we? Kind of.
I think you might donate plants to people who do it, maybe.
Yeah, so we've been involved with the Summit Road Society, and the Port Hills fires was a big, what do you call that? We were donating a lot of plants to some of the people who lost their homes, and a lot of land was destroyed by those fires, the first fires. We work somewhat with the Banks Peninsula Conservation Trust to provide plants and support to those that need it. Port Hills-wise, we're doing our Barnet work and we work with the rangers up on there.
So you are. So
we are,
Not only the parks and places around the city, you're actually out there in the sort of wilder areas.
Yes, and a huge amount of our seed that we collect does come from the Port Hills.
Oh, wow. Goodness, I had to wish your whole society, your whole group, well, don't you? I mean, they do such wonderful work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Laura.
Okay.
Listeners, we're going to go for a wander around Trees of Canterbury now. So there'll be some photos to go with the the interview at some point. But once again, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. That's awesome. Thanks.
So that was a really, really lovely visit to Trees of Canterbury.
Absolutely.
Thank you again to Laura. And if you're interested in going on one of those planting days that we talked about, check out their website.
Yes.
And we'll be also posting more information about it on social media as well.
That's right. Yeah.
So what's coming up?
Well, there's lots of things coming up as usual. The Horticulture Society. I see Garden Life in July has got a very classy speaker this month. Yes. John Clements.
Now, who is John Clements for our listeners?
Well, John Clements is the curator of the Botanic Gardens.
There we go.
Yeah. Oh, haven't you got him down there, is that? No,
oh, I do. I just thought our listeners might like to know.
Yes.
So he's worked with plants for about 40 years.
Yes.
Is that about right?
Yes.
And, yeah, he's a curator of the Christchurch Botanic Gardens. He works as a botanist and biosecurity advisor for ECAN.
Yeah.
Specialises in things like invasive weed management, environmental protection, and also in areas like the Horonui weed busters.
Mm. Now, it says he was the curator of the curator. I thought he was still the curator.
I did. This is what I took from the information I had, right?
No, well, fair enough. I know that John certainly was. No, whether he is now is, and we should really check up on that one day.
But he's going to be talking to our Garden Life attendees about his travels in the Mediterranean Empire. Their plants, our gardens.
Yes.
So that should be quite interesting. I'm looking forward to that because it'll be a bit of history and a bit of like how plants came to be. For instance, the daffodil is a perfect example of that.
Yes.
Particularly the Phoenix Eye one.
Yeah.
The one that's
with the red rim around the eye.
Yes. And then our mini speaker for Garden Life in July is Brianna Hill. She's going to be talking about indoor plants and the Christchurch Botanic Gardens conservatories.
Oh, right.
And again, very interested in this. I love the conservatories at the gardens.
They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. Yes.
They really are. So it sounds like it's going to be a really good Garden Life in July. That's Tuesday the 7th at 6 p.m. and Wednesday the 8th at 1 p.m. Free for members, $10 for non-members.
And it'll be well worth it.
They get
nice suppers, don't they?
Oh, dear. Yes. Yeah. Nice supper. There's a raffle. There's often, you know, lots of good tips and tricks. So,
yes, there's more than the speakers. There's garden advice, and you can ask questions of experts and things like
that. Exactly. Yeah.
So it is a whole evening's program.
It is, or afternoon, depending on when you go.
Or afternoon.
So that's Garden Life in July. Even though we're at the beginning of June at the moment, while you're listening to this, we're thinking about July already for that. But otherwise, back to our June sessions. Bot Tots should be on Mondays 10 a.m. till 11:30 a.m.
And that's still going?
Still going strong.
Strong.
Gardening and nature-themed activities for your preschoolers. Drop-in during school term time for $2 koha per preschooler.
Yep. And then we've got terrariums. Good heavens.
Now, I shouldn't have put this in. Unfortunately, listeners, if you're listening to this on Monday the 8th, terrariums has already been.
Oh, they have indeed.
So you will have missed it.
Oh, what a pity.
Hopefully it'll teach them
to look at that website if they're interested in things like that.
Teach me to look at my notes before I print things.
Yeah.
All right. Botanical printmaking, though, is coming up this weekend, Saturday the 13th of June, 2 to 4 p.m. So this is making block prints.
Yes.
And
with Starling Studio.
Yep, Carrie Dingwall from Starling Studio. Mm. So you design, carve, and then use it to print your own botanical artwork.
So what do you carve?
Probably, like, do you remember doing them in the leather or vinyl tiles?
And you used little chisels? Oh, I know those.
Yeah.
We used to do them on potatoes.
Yep.
We used to cut potatoes in half.
Yep, you can do it on potatoes as well.
I don't imagine this to be potatoes.
No, I think this is intended to be something a little more long-lasting than potatoes.
A little bit more sophisticated, maybe. But they'll be, gravy, like lino. I guess a bit like lino prints, but perhaps a bit more sophisticated. Yeah.
Yep. And then All About Flowers is on again this month, 25th of June. So that's a relaxed and welcoming group for everyone who loves flowers, meeting on the last Thursday of each month, and it's a celebration of all things floral.
So you need to look on the website to find out what you need to bring.
Yes. Yep. They do usually have a lot of things that you don't necessarily need to bring everything, but if there's a particular theme each month, they might say bring something from your garden that you want to incorporate.
Exactly. then there's a beautiful young lady coming down to the botanical embroidery.
Yes, Sawi Thorpe, I think it is. Now, Sawi, I've seen Sawi actually on felt.co.nz, and they're going to be at the Encraftment Market as well. It's the end of June. She makes some amazing floral-inspired embroidery.
She does. And she's usually at the Pioneer one, isn't
yes.
she?
Yeah, Pioneer Stadium. So this is Monday the 29th of June from 6 till 9 p.m. and you'll come away having at least started your own embroidery and you can finish it up. No. And there's plenty more coming up.
There's the Natural Dye Workshop, which I guess you're interested in.
I am. That'll be Gina that we've spoken to before.
Yes.
There's Bud Vaz Workshop on the 2nd of August. A bonsai workshop.
And that's always well-attended ones, isn't it?
Yeah. And plenty more online. But that's us for what's on this month.
Yes, and very soon we're going to be doing our book review.
Yes, in 2 more weeks. Make sure you join us on Monday the 22nd of June, and we'll be reviewing our next couple of books. Well, Ray will be reviewing a book. She'll be reviewing Aotearoa in Bloom by Rachel Clare and Tryphena Cracknell. And I'm going to be talking about a couple of films I saw at the Resene Architecture and Design Film Festival last month. So The Time Traveller's Guide to Hamilton Gardens and At the Garden's Pace. So that's a wrap for this program. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Until then, happy gardening.
Same here.
Thanks for joining us on Green Thumbs today.
Make sure to get involved with the Canterbury Horticulture Society in the lovely kiosk in the beautiful Christchurch Botanic Gardens.
The CHS offers many interesting workshops, courses and talks.
Check out what's coming up on Facebook and at chsgardens.co.nz.
And find past episodes on plains.org.nz and subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Let's get our hands dirty